Hi, this is Bubba from Got Your Milk, FX's The Strain Podcast. Do you or someone you love suffer from BPS or Bolivar Penis Syndrome? Symptoms include hair loss, ringing in the ear, not having any genitalia. 4 out of 5 doctors agree men should have genitalia. If your loved one has Bolivar Penis Syndrome, it's not hard to imagine the strain on your loved one's self-esteem shrinking, literally. But we can help. Listen to this podcast to find out more. And we're up in three, three, two, la, 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 la. Unique New York, unique New York, red leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather, red. All right, so we're rolling in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Got Your Milk. FX is The Strains Podcast, very inappropriately named podcast. We've only seen milk in the very first episode. We've seen UV lights in all of them. My name's Bubba, and with me, as always, is Mork. Mork, how are you doing?
I'm doing really, really well. How about you, Bubba?
I think I'm doing about as well as Ansel.
I've been there. I know.
You know, when you get in trouble with your woman and you get locked in the shed.
Well, you know, a lot of wives are not as permissive as they used to be about eating the family dog.
Get over it.
Thank you.
All right, so if you're new to Got Your Milk, we're a spinoff of the Joffria podcast, a podcast about HBO's Game of Thrones. Download and listen to that if you're interested in that hit show. But we are talking about FX's The Strain. It's a Sunday night show. It's doing very well, getting between 4 and 5 million viewers across all platforms.
To put that in perspective, that's about half as many people as are listening to this podcast right now.
Amen, amen. And we begin every episode by rating how many cartons of milk / how many radioactive worms / how many UV lights the episode is worth. The more items,
yes,
the better you like the episode. The less items, the less likely you like the episode.
That's very fair. That's so, a fair system, Bubba.
You know, Mork, I really had to think long and hard about how this was going to work. And so I thought about it, and so this is it. We're talking about this episode entitled It's Not For Everyone.
Nope.
Which is a very appropriate title for FX's The Strain. But let's get right to it. Mork.
Yes, Bob.
Let's hear it. Cartons of milk, UV lights, vampire worms. What would you give this episode?
Well, because this episode was a little all over the place, I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to give it 2 cartons of milk, 2 UV lights, and 3 deadly squiggly ammonia worms.
Now, am I supposed to add all that up, Mork?
It adds up to 4.
No, it adds up to 7.
I'm kidding.
So I am going to go the opposite way. The worms have infected me. I'm going all the way up to 9 cartons of milk.
Holy cow.
Episode,
wow.
They unleashed the beast.
Yes,
they did. Let Walder Frey use his sword rather than for show. They really, it was just gonzo nutty. And for once, I think our heroes are doing the exact right thing by not telling anybody and just tackling this incredibly large plague by themselves.
That's the way to handle it. It worked for Lewis and Clark. It worked for Bernstein and Woodward.
So you're saying Lewis and Clark were like, they went it alone. They didn't wait for the railroad to get built.
They're not.
We're just going to take care of this ourselves.
Similarly,
F is like, hey, there's probably our correct protocols, but I'm just going to hunt down all these things myself.
Let's just start chopping off their heads. You know who I bet feels pretty foolish right now is that police officer that Abraham tricked into believing that he was going to replace the blade. Nope. He did not. So I hope he did not see this episode. And if he did, officer, thank you for your service.
Okay, so before we get to our favorite scenes, scariest scenes, and possibly any spoiled milk scenes, I want to say that you can help out the Got Your Milk podcast by going to iTunes and giving us some reviews. It helps people know that you enjoy our show. We hope you enjoy our show, and you can give us constructive criticism.
Not you, Mom. You've left enough terrible reviews.
This week, though, we have two reviews, and it doesn't feel like it's constructive criticism. It's incredibly positive reviews. The first one, we have a five-star review. And the title of the review is called Not to Miss. It's by US Who Cast, or Us Who Cast, probably is the way that reads. Five stars, he says, the people who bring you the... that's a good point. Or he or she say, the people who bring you the fantastic Joffrey of podcasts now ask you to watch FX's The Strain with them. He said that in some ways the podcast is superior to the episode. Thank you very much for that great review.
I think we're done. Good night, folks.
We got another review here which says, effing great podcast. Thanks to this wonderful podcast, I learned how to defeat evil worms, bald vampires, and boxes filled with dirt, all the while being a terrible father to Zach. Sincerely, F. Goodweather. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for tuning in, Dr. F.
Thank you so much. So please, go to iTunes, give us a review, and we'll give you a shout-out here on the podcast.
We'll give you a shout-out, and we're also going to have a contest. In case we need to change the title of the podcast from Got Your Milk, please feel free to suggest
Got Your UV Light. Right, we'll switch it up. All right, so why don't we get to our favorite slash scariest scenes of the week. What do you think, Mork?
Well, I think, and I would say this is probably the best scene of the whole series. And it took them a little while to get there. They have had to find just the right size of scrubs. After they killed poor Captain Redfern, was it?
Yeah, Redfern or something. After, the pilot.
Redfern, they killed the pilot of the Regis Air Flight, the dead plane, which is, I guess, pretty typical over at JFK. The autopsy scene of Captain Redfern was...
It was hard to watch. It was so gross and scary.
It reminded me a little bit of my honeymoon, to be completely honest. But, that one took the disgusting cake.
Well, just like your honeymoon, Jim recorded most of it with his iPhone.
That is
most
true.
Most of the action.
Yeah, that is true. And prenup, Jim made sure to go on record and say that he was not in favor of this. So that was a hell of a scene. How about you, Big Bub?
I really enjoyed that scene as well, but for my scary scene slash worm-filled scene of the night, I have to give it up for my boy pulling out his sword and going to town. He's very kind of laid back when he's like, you know, there's a monster behind you, you know, step away. And they didn't kind of he seemed so low-key about it.
It's pretty low-key.
That the monster was able to just step from behind and just scare him.
Just to be clear, we're referring to poor man's Walder Frey, correct?
But rich man's Walder Frey, the real Walder Frey.
I think he gets paid more on Game of Thrones.
Sarkeesian, not the USC coach, yeah, Sarkeesian.
Coach Sarkeesian.
What's his name again?
Abe Sarditsky.
No.
It was Abraham.
Abraham, for sure.
It's Abraham.
So him whipping out that sword, totally going DIY himself on that. I thought that was a fun scene. I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm ready for him to take out some suckers. I enjoyed that a lot. Okay, and he spilled milk scene from you, Mork.
You know, And the more I watch the show, it's just there are parts of the show that really, really work for me.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, anything with Abe or Nora in the shower or F at the gym.
Abe in the shower as well.
Sometimes if they pull the camera back, you'll see that Abe is in the shower with Nora. But no, I like Gus's character, but, you know, I don't really care so much about his
what if
drama.
Well, there wasn't any of your real favorite stuff, Zach, and the custody stuff.
What
if Gus started being a mentor to Zach? Would that cheer you up?
I think that would make sense. I think it would make more sense if Gus started to become a mentor to Matt from Sears.
Right. He's like, I know a great place we can hawk these stolen Sears appliances.
Here's how you make sweet love to F's wife.
My spilt milk scene of the week, I have not attached really too much to Mr. Palmer.
Right.
His scene with the head of Health and Human Services, I guess it was kind of fun seeing that he was pulling the strings. And so I guess if you're the head of the Department of Health and Human Services, and if your cell phone goes down, And so maybe the president can't reach you, even though there are plenty of landlines that aren't down.
Yeah.
It's still good. That's the way it'd be. So if some old rich donor who helped my career told me the president was talking to him instead of me about a deadly disease, I would, of course, believe him, especially after he has a stroke.
Right. Watching that scene, I couldn't help but think of, well, what happened to our friend in the parking garage? Are we ever going to see him again?
The monster, you mean?
Or, yeah.
Yeah, where is he?
Where'd the monster go? Is he stuck in the parking garage? Did he forget his park? Is he waiting for validation for his parking ticket?
Right. Maybe he thought he was going to get out of there, but Gus and his buddy stole the keys. So he's like, I want out.
Either he stole the keys.
Like, you know, no ticket. You can't get out of the garage.
Maybe it's like when I head down to the Grove. The monster forgot where he parked his box.
Oh, Abe would be saying amen to that. He really would.
He's just stalking up and down the different levels. Anyway, so Bubba, should we jump right in?
Let's jump right in. And this episode begins.
Geronimo.
So this episode begins literally seconds after the last episode ended.
Yep.
So this episode again is titled "It's Not for Everyone."
Nope.
And one of the things that I really think we should have talked about last week is in the end of the first episode, or near the in the first episode, there was what we called the poor man's Robert Davi from the airport, and his skull was completely crushed in.
Right.
And then in the second episode, F and his team of Nora and Jim, they were like, you know, it'd be impossible. It'd take so much strength to crush a man's skull. This is crazy. We're in charge of this. The CDC's in charge, not you cops.
We gotta go.
We gotta leave. And so they've never gone back to that. I think we can all guarantee they will never go back to that.
Yeah.
But here in the third episode, it's so hard to crush a man's skull that F did it with a fire extinguisher.
He did, yeah. Well, I mean, maybe the bones got a little weaker with all the worms crawling around inside. I could buy that.
Of course, that's what would happen.
Yeah, obviously.
I think when we get the Blu-ray and we see the cutscenes, Jim is like, you know, let's call people. And F is like, no big deal. This is the way skulls act when you have a fire extinguisher and worms.
That's what happens. Yeah, it was a beautiful skull crushing. And what to do? Well, number one, Jim has to go on record. But Jim reveals something that we've known all along.
Right. He reveals he's a chicken because he didn't want to pick up the body and go examine it. What you were saying or something else?
I jumped ahead.
What did you think? You mean that he was... He kind of sold out the box.
He
released the van and the box.
Yeah,
I mean that is pretty terrible.
And
it felt like the perfect time to reveal it though. When you've done an autopsy on a creepy pilot who had a 6 foot long worm or anaconda?
Yeah,
in his throat.
I don't know what that was.
Well, I think F and Nora made the exact right call. To not let the authorities see this, to not let anybody know, not to quarantine, but to go find some room in the hospital that nobody's in. Now, the hospital has, remember last episode, the hospital's been told, hey, this patient is missing. And so if they just go to a room and don't talk to anybody ever again, nobody else will look for them or notice.
Yeah, they should be fine because this hospital is completely empty and no one is in it.
Well,
The diagnosticator, yeah. He's the best in the city, but he doesn't have internet anymore.
Let's debate this. If you were a doctor at the CDC and you had seen this hideous kind of freaky thing, would you immediately do an autopsy by yourself?
I'd like to think, sure.
Yes, you would. Thank you. That's
sure,
the right, correct answer. I was worried.
Go
you
for
were,
it.
Yeah, please.
Get my hands dirty.
Oh, please. Yeah. That's and, safe. And, you know, I'm not even in surgical scrubs. I'm in my normal clothes, but I have gloves on. And Jim has an iPhone. So that's all you need.
That is basically, all you need. I watch a lot of General Hospital and that's exactly how they do it there.
Right. Amen.
Please also, after the strain is over, we're going to get back to, and before Game of Thrones comes back on, we're going to do our General Hospital podcast. So
GH.
Something for our all of our listeners to look forward to.
Now, because we had heard from Abraham in past episodes, he's like, you know, burn the bodies, destroy the bodies. One of the reasons why this autopsy scene was so tense is I was sure that the body was going to get up and attack again. And you know what? I'm glad it didn't, because that allowed me to see more of it. You know, it's much scarier and grosser to see the innards and lack of genitals from a dead pilot than to actually see a dead pilot who's got his genitals and innards rise from the dead and start attacking.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that's also Chekhov said that.
Chekhov.
Not the
Chekhov's
writer.
Chekhov's innards.
Not the writer.
You mean the Star Trek character.
Yeah, Anton Chekhov, obviously. Come on.
Captain.
I can't find my genitals.
Captain, my cousin is an exterminator in New York City. We're both Russian.
What happened? Where did all the rats go? Have we found the rats?
Okay, so after while this is happening, there's also some interesting stuff happening at Ansel's house. Ansel is telling his wife, he's like, "Hey, I'm not gonna. Don't call the doctor. Yeah. Don't call it a. You know, I'm not calling the doctor. Take the kids. Get them to. Was it your mom? You know, he's like, or the grandparents, whatever. Get the kids out.
Yeah.
But leave." Tasty, delicious dog. Everybody likes a doggy bag from a restaurant.
Right.
Ansel likes a doggy innards from the pet store.
Absolutely. Ansel is thinking about all sorts of great things. And
now, what did you think of Anne-Marie and Ansel? You know, we saw Bolivar immediately go for somebody's blood.
Right.
We've seen this pilot. You know, so we assume that Ansel has the same disease, but he's been able to control his inner worm.
Yeah, he's unlike most men in Cabo San Lucas. So the he's fighting it. He's resisting it. He seems like he's got a plan.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, and he's far more polite, I got to say, than that little French brat. So So yeah, so no, Ansel is doing his goddamn best to do the right thing. Anne-Marie, thank heavens, well, maybe I might be jumping ahead.
Well, no, let's just go through the whole Ansel storyline,
because
it was filled with kind of some interesting twists. So Anne-Marie comes back from dropping the kids off. And she
still hasn't told anyone.
She comes back, and she comes into the house, and suddenly she takes a pill. She's kind of freaking out. I thought she was sick, to be completely honest, but I guess she was having religious panic. What would you call it?
Maybe she was just sick and tired of being sick and tired, and she needed that pill. I don't know, but she went straight to her
rosaries,
her Catholic bag of goodies. It seemed like there was holy water. There was some cards in there. I don't know where the are cards. What are cards exactly?
Well, it was.
Are they tarot? I mean, they were.
They weren't tarot.
Jesus.
Yeah, was it Jesus? Jesus is not on tarot cards.
No, but were they just playing cards? I thought I saw a Little Caesar's emblem on one of them.
Well, I was wondering. You were like, it's
not Little Caesar's Palace.
You were like,
Okay. Not Little Caesar.
Didn't make some of the things you say don't make too much sense, Mark. I just roll with it. But I thought, what's so funny is, you know, I'm just not very religious, and so I see her grab some beads and some oil, and I think sex toys.
Hello, that it, hey.
She's like, he's been away in Germany for a while.
Look,
I've been lonely. The kids are out of the house. Let's do this.
We just make sure the dog's not watching again.
So Anne-Marie, I don't even, what causes her to go out in the backyard? She goes out in the backyard.
I think she...
Do you remember? Why did she head out there?
She's sort of a nosy person.
Okay, so in the backyard, she saw kind of like different spots of blood.
Well, she finds the dog.
She traces the blood
collar. Yeah,
right. Really, there was only one place in the yard the dog could have been hit. You know, like the yard was, you know, property in Queens, wherever the house is, very difficult. So
very
she
difficult.
Traces that delicious blood.
She does,
and she sees puppy, and the puppy's missing some innards. Mm-hmm. And once again, I'm tense. I think maybe the puppy has worms, and it's gonna rise from the dead, and you know, Pavlov's bell, dinner time on Anne-Marie.
Ghost dog.
Ghost dog. What was that? Was that a Kurosawa film or Jarmusch?
Jim Jarmusch, same thing. Yeah, the wonderful Forest Whitaker, made a cameo in this week's episode. Some of you eagle-eyed listener and watchers will know exactly.
All
what
right,
we're talking
about. So then. Luckily, we had the closed caption on, and we could see that there was actually noise coming from the shed.
Yes, we heard some noise coming from the shed.
So, look, the dog has been killed, bloodily killed.
Yeah.
Your husband has been acting crazy. There's noise in the shed. Do you enter the shed, Mork?
I would probably just burn the shed down.
Why not? You know, hey, let's just burn the shed. That would have been good. But I think she showed true love. You know, she was like, I love Ansel, and I've got my beads, I've got my holy oil. I am going to go in here and get busy with... No, I mean, she's like, I've got to see. I love my husband. She goes in.
Yeah.
And Ansel.
Yeah.
Do you think he killed the dog to get the dog's chain? Why? Or no, he just loves blood.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's, you know, I suppose, you know, we're trying to figure out the most logical sequence of events for a man killing his dog. And eating his dog and then turning into a monster in the shed, but...
Yeah, well, don't spoil Old Yeller.
Yes, I apologize. Old Yeller or As Good As It Gets.
Where are you going with that gun chain?
But, yeah, no, I mean, clearly he killed the dog outside the shed and then went inside the shed and chained himself up, which...
Right.
Seems like maybe he had a little bloodlust. I don't know. Maybe, or let's take a step back, everybody. Maybe he knew that he needed that blood...
Oh.
Because of the stake. So he's like, well, I can sort of bleed that valve, if you will, mm-hmm. by eating the dog's blood, and then I can maintain my
equilibrium.
Cool,
all right,
then
okay.
Lock myself up.
Now, are they... Well, let's get to... not to sidetrack slightly from this great show in Ansel.
No.
But are these things vampires? Because I would assume Ansel went out in the sun maybe to... I don't know.
That's a great... Now, he hasn't completely transformed. I mean, he was still...
Oh, that's a good point.
Was still chatting. And we saw some of his gray pincher tongue last week. And this week, he was still talking.
Right.
So I don't know what's going on with his transformation. But I think the real reason why Anne-Marie was snooping around in the shed was to see if Ansel had put the lawnmower back where he was supposed to. And clearly he hadn't.
Well, okay, so then overcomes my new favorite character, the neighbor.
He's like, neighbor, yes.
He's like, he doesn't care that he must know because of the TV crews outside. He
right.
knows that good old Ansel was on this plane, went through this horrific thing. But instead of giving him any time to recover, instead he's going to come over and complain about the dog. So this neighbor guy, he's like me.
Yeah.
Any neighbor causes you trouble, go complain.
Yeah, and what I like to do also when dealing with any property
right.
Neighbor dispute, anything like that, is I like to whip them with my belt. So
I thought when he was took it off his belt, I thought, are we going to have another Bolivar situation
here?
What's going on here?
He was in the shed.
Was he going to go in there and fuck the dog?
I don't know what was happening. That poor dog. But at that point, I mean, what could it hurt? The dog was dead. Let's be honest.
Now, one of the reasons why I gave this episode nine cartons of milk is Anne-Marie, like a lot of Catholics, she is willing to kill for her man.
God bless. God.
She knew what
well,
was...
Well, I think she was actually killing more for her dog.
Right.
Because...
Right, you don't like my dog? Yeah. Take that.
And she took the time, and how much did she love her dog? After seeing her husband completely pale, covered in blood... And chained up inside.
Leave me alone!
He, look, ladies out there, I mean, I don't think it's news for you to hear. Sometimes us guys just need some space.
Yeah, maybe.
What's the big deal? What's the big deal, Bubba?
Because we hadn't seen Ansel kill anybody on camera.
That's true.
There's a chance this was just his plan to get a divorce. You know, he's like, I want to be free.
Could be.
I'm going to go chain myself in the shed. She'll divorce me then.
Could be. I think you're probably right. But after she sees him in the shed, she takes the time to bury good old Gracie.
Leave me alone. I said leave.
Yeah.
And she talked to the dog for a bit. I thought Ansel might have been like, I can still hear you.
Yeah, I can still hear you. Or, you know, I mean... Ansel was tied up. I mean, why didn't Anne-Marie ask him to help, shovel some rock hard dirt? I don't know.
Right.
But so the neighbor comes over. I think some of you Emmy voters out there would probably consider him poor man's Matt Weiner.
I'd call him Emmy winner because he won that scene.
He
came over,
did.
And if you've been upset about a neighbor's dog, you agree with this. But Anne-Marie, her little turn there.
Oh.
Well, I thought that was great. And then... When the shed shuts and you hear the screams and then you just see blood dripping from out of the shed.
Yeah, I thought they could have used more classic wacky sound effects like maybe a bowling ball clunking someone on the head, some cats meowing, a glass shattering while they were going at it. But that's just me.
Now, do you think? And I don't, but this doesn't feel like it's the last of Ansel and Anne-Marie, does it?
Oh, no, I would. That'd be a waste of a wonderful shed.
What do you want to see happen? Once again, folks, we have not read any of the books. We can't give you any spoilers. We can guess, and maybe we can guess right. What do you want to have happen with Anne-Marie and Ansel? I kind of almost feel like maybe because he's chained up and everything, you wonder if he could be the thing Nora wants, and that is for them to find a cure.
Yeah, well, could be, although I would like to see Anne-Marie on a skateboard and getting towed around town to run her errands by Ansel with the chain.
Sure. Okay. That doesn't sound as exciting of a show. I have to be completely honest. That feels a lot like Shaun of the Dead. It seems like you want kind of a light ending for this. I want.
Hey, they're two young kids. I want it to work out between them. I believe in true love, Bubba.
Okay. Well, listen, Mork. I honestly think. How about this? You know how there are always those on TV shows. You know, it costs so much money to make them. They do those thing called bottle episodes.
Sure.
What define a bottle episode? Everybody, Mork. Maybe I shouldn't say this, was a writer's assistant on a very popular 90s sitcom called Friends. So, Mork, you know this. What is a bottle episode? Explain that to our listeners.
Well, a bottle episode is, even though I did work on a big sitcom, it's probably used more often on 1 hour shows. So a good example would be in Breaking Bad.
In Breaking Bad, right. The fly
episode. They're trying to capture the fly in the lab for an entire hour.
Right. I would love a bottle episode in the shed.
I would like that as well.
Think about that. It's like Abe and F go to the shed. They come in and...
it's a big shed. They might lose track of each other.
Right.
That could happen.
Maybe Zach could go over there. Let's get everybody in the shed.
Let's get everybody in the shed.
For a bottle episode.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of potential for great bottle episodes as long as they don't involve Gus's annoying brother.
All right, so you brought it up. I assume we're moving on from Ansel and Anne-Marie and the story there. So let's get to Gus and his craziness. So everybody, Gus, he took last episode off, but Gus wakes up. He's got his gun right next to him on the nightstand. He's got some big ball of cash right next to him on the nightstand.
Right.
But he immediately looks to the clock.
He sees
that symbol
the clock.
Of Crispin being a crook. Now, it feels awfully kind of like do as I say, not as I do for Gus to be like, hey, Crispin, you can't steal clocks, but I'll go steal a blanking car.
Yeah,
Come on, please.
I'm going to return the stolen $15 antique clock
right.
on my way to stealing a $75,000
right.
car.
Right, Gus. Okay. He's a slippery slope of morals there.
That is true. That is true. And we have yet another new character.
Another
in
new
the
character.
House.
Did you catch this large gentleman's name?
Was it Manu?
No, I'm pretty sure that's what he calls Gus. Hold on. I'll start playing it here. We got the closed caption on. He's about to come over.
I thought, it was Manu Ginobili.
No, but Mark, you really want to give a shout out to the closed captioner on this. What's he come in and say?
Right. I think. Look, we've gotten to the point now where
Buenos Dias. Yeah.
Not exactly a bilingual. We're not officially a bilingual country, but I think for the most part, people understand what Buenos Dias means. So
not me.
I do appreciate it.
Put up the closed caption.
Yeah, thank you. Well, that's why it's there.
All right. No. So they at the beginning of the scene, they haven't said his name yet, but Gus. Chupo.
Sure.
So Chupo, what did you think of Chupo? He's kind of like a jolly thief. He's like that rapscallion kind of buddy.
Yeah, I guess I'm judging every character by do I want them to kill a vampire or turn into a vampire. So I would like to see this guy turn into a vampire.
Chupo?
Yeah,
Chupo's
Chupo.
My boy.
Chupo's a great guy.
Now, listen, those worms would have a lot to empty out if they get into Chupo.
Chupo eats well.
Chupo is a big man.
Chupo is a big man.
Right, and he's a friend of the family. The mom likes Chupo.
Always checking in on mom while Gus was away.
Now, Crispin is just constantly set up to be worm food.
Yeah.
So he apparently took the money for rent and maybe used it on drugs because the landlord comes, another great actor.
Right.
Another great performance. The landlord comes and he's like, what are these recyclables doing in the hallway?
Exactly.
Now, Mork, should we talk about experience as a landlord? Does this happen a lot?
No, it'll hit a little too close to home.
All right. So, but Gus, because Gus is our hero,
yeah,
he uses that money he got from working for Stoneheart to pay the 2 months' rent, and he also tells Mr. Landlord, he's like, "You insult my mama."
Mm-hmm.
He's like, "You can't do any yo mama jokes here."
No, or thank I you. Will.
What's going to happen to him? I'm totally lost.
He was going to put him in the recycling bin.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Recycling bin. All right, so then, once again, so let's just follow this storyline. It's all set up.
Yeah.
And then where does Gus go? Gus goes and returns the clock,
mm-hmm.
and he gets a little gruff from Abraham. Abraham is like, "Yeah, this is the greatest thing that's happened to me." But right. he doesn't seem happy. Do you think he was being sarcastic? Abraham.
I will say this. I watched the director's commentary to Schindler's List, and
that what I would really like to know what that has to do with anything more.
Apparently, during he was spending his time in the concentration camps.
Abraham
could be a bit of a smart aleck.
All right. So anyway, Gusto, he leaves Abraham's place after turning the clock.
Yeah.
And then they pull what I consider kind of a pretty smart sting to steal this car. Didn't you think so? That was a pretty good way to steal a car.
I loved it. It took advantage of Chupo's girth. And, no one got hurt in the process.
You know what? Everybody, that's the way you steal a car.
Yeah. It was very, I thought that was our this week's tribute to all the President's Men. They did a great job.
They did a really good job stealing that car. What's funny is, as he's walking through the parking lot, Gusto, and he's pressing the key to see which car unlocks, one of them was like a Toyota minivan, and I thought that'd really be great if that's the keys he grabbed. He's like, "Hey!" Oh.
Well, the first time they tried this
this
maneuver, they didn't pay too much attention to what keys they were taking from the rack. So
then
it could happen.
Then where do we go? We go and see our boy from The Wire, Marlowe.
Yep. That's exactly right.
I don't know his character's name is on this show.
Right.
I think this show really has to, how do I say this politely? It's really got to do something when almost all the what you would call minority type characters, except for Nora, are criminals and lowlifes, or they're valets. You know, they don't, maybe these people deserve to get wormed.
We will see. We will see what happens.
So Marlowe likes cars. He's like, okay. But what is it? LoJack? Did they disconnect it? I mean, this seems like a scam here.
Right. I don't know. I mean,
the LoJack. What's the system where it's in your car?
Yeah, there's LoJack and there's GPS in cars.
Yeah.
You know, so. But, you know, maybe the people didn't actually notice that the car had been stolen. So they were...
Oh, come on. You're right. That's probably realistically what would happen.
And show.
When you park your car to valet,
yeah,
of course you wouldn't notice for several days.
Several days. It may have been... Actually, it's certainly possible that it's certainly possible. I have a potential spoiler alert.
Okay, yeah.
Potential spoiler alert.
Let's hear
alert.
It. I've got an idea of how they didn't notice.
When I look at that SUV, I was like, oh my God. I am pretty sure that SUV belongs to the now deceased medical examiner of New York City.
Oh, that's a great call.
So let's be honest.
Right, nobody's going to notice that car.
Victimless crime.
Amen. Victimless crime.
Victimless crime.
That is much smarter than mine. I thought maybe, for example, to make sure nobody noticed that the car was missing, Chupo put on a silver poncho and just sat in the car parking spot for a bit. They're like, "Where's the car?" Oh, there it is.
Yeah, no, he
could Chupo's have. A big man.
Chupo is a big man, and he chirps.
He does. Okay, so Marlowe, and once again, I don't know his character's name is on this show. He was on the great HBO show The Wire.
Yeah,
played Marlowe Stanfield, this wonderful actor Jamie Hector, I believe is his name. And so he was going to only give him $400 for a stolen car. Then, for some reason, gives him $800. I'm a bit lost. Maybe he's like, because they said no, we want the car back. Then, you know, this is good negotiating. Is this? But it was great, great, great stuff.
It was a fun scene. But I don't know how stolen cars and an extra $1,000 and the boys call walking around money is going to prevent the Nazi vampire zombie apocalypse.
Right, but okay, here, once again, we can predict stuff we don't know. I got a crazy guess for you, Morgan.
All right, hit me.
All right, so they're knowing this guy will give them $1,000 for any stolen car.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is a car that a car slash van mm-hmm. that Gus knows that's just sitting with nobody in it in an empty parking garage.
Oh.
What if they go get the friggin' van?
I love it.
And take it to, you know where, take it to Marlo. Marlo's yep. like, well, it's got this damn big box in it, so yep. I'll throw in an extra $200.
I'll give you $1,100 for it. That could be, the wood alone is probably worth $100.
right. Antiques Roadshow, you know, with this box.
It's fantastic. No, I think that could be, or maybe the next car they see has a certain CDC placard in the
front. Oh, right. They'll say, hey, this car has several parking tickets on it.
Yeah.
Obviously, nobody's looking for it. Let's just grab it.
Let's just take it, yeah.
All right, so anything else you want to say about Gusto and his family drama / car stealing ways before we move on, Mark?
I'd like him to... I like the fact that he and Abraham did not team up immediately.
Yeah. You think that even though he's a car thief, he's a car thief with a heart of gold.
A heart of gold, baby.
He's the rebel car thief, to go with our rebel exterminator
rebel CDC. Rebel CDC.
Any predictions for them going forward?
I think...
It feels...
I think they'll meet again.
Who Marlo and Gus. Yeah, I think...
Oh, I meant Gus and good old Abe.
Oh, I thought... Gus and Abe. Okay. Let's go ahead and make a crazy prediction.
All right.
I will learn how to use a
typewriter.
Mark, you lose focus. We're talking about the strain.
I'm sorry. You said crazy prediction.
All right. So how about this? Gus,
yeah.
Because he does, even though he's a criminal with a heart of gold, and he feels like he's one of our heroes, I'll say Gus. Gus is obviously going to need more money because his brother Crispin's going to maybe steal more rent money or something. Right. And so Gus is going to get tied back into Stoneheart some way. I bet that's how he comes back into kind of our main vampire worm story.
Could be. Or maybe he gets his mom to join him on the car theft ring.
Right. She doesn't seem to do much but leave the house and come back.
She goes to church. Yeah.
Goes
she
to
cooks,
the store.
She
comes back.
Actually, she wasn't even cooking. Chupo was doing all the cooking.
Good work, Chupo. Yeah. He's hungry.
She's a neglectful mother.
Chupo is hungry. And you know, he was hungry because he said burrito. And they closed caption that.
That is true.
He said a Mexican dish.
A Mexican delight.
All right, so let's go to, I guess, my least favorite stuff of this episode. I really enjoyed a lot. Uh-huh. And that is at Stoneheart, Mr. Palmer's there.
Yes.
With a poor man's Christoph Waltz.
Poor man's
And who
Christoph
do
Waltz.
They bring in? But the sexy female hacker.
The sexy
from
female.
Halt and Cast Fire had its last episode tonight on AMC. So they're like, we need a sexy computer chick.
Yeah.
That show's done, so we'll have our own. And what did you think? Was she foreign? She had some sort of... What was going on here sexy computer?
Her name was Dutch, so maybe she
is Dutch.
Oh,
right. That's
Dutch.
A good point.
But
well, what if her name isn't Dutch, but they just, you know, they're like, yeah, get that... You know, it's some kind of like, you know, German plumber.
Yeah.
And so, like, suddenly everybody thinks his first name is German. Plumber!
Yeah, no, I think that makes total sense. She's an attractive gal, and...
As all computer programmers are attractive.
I think we've learned that in recent years.
She had two-tone hair. And so why do you think... I'm not sure they completely explain it, but why do they want this thing, which is real easy to do, shutting down internet and cell phones in... this day and age?
Well, I think...
Yes, that is... No, I'm asking you to tell me what the show told us. Because
well,
I was too stupid to catch it. They didn't say it. Yes, what you think.
All right, I think poor man's Max von Sydow is getting a little irritated at poor man's Christoph Waltz tweeting and posting on Facebook while on company time. So that's what I think it is.
Mr. Palmer's like productivity's gone to hell.
It's gone down.
People are doing their fantasy football leagues.
Exactly. Stoneheart needs results.
No, I think I really don't understand what kind of deal Mr. Palmer has made with the devil here, but it feels like he's like, let me live forever, and they don't want people to know about the outbreak of vampire worms. Is that what it is? Come on. What do you really think here?
I really think they haven't figured it out. I don't know. But you know, where's our friendly monster?
Right. He's
and why isn't the monster doing anything to help good old Aldrich Ames or whatever the hell his name is?
Right. You mean poor man Christoph Waltz? Well, how about
poor man's Max von Sydow.
Oh, you mean Mr. Palmer? Sure. Well, how about this? I've been to Europe. Have you been to Europe? Well, you've been to Israel. You've been, yeah. You've been to Europe too, huh?
Yeah, I've been to England. I've been to Italy. Sure. All
right. Well, tell me about coming back then. When you fly back, your body is just jet lag. Absolutely. You're tired. Do you think you could go out and eat any blood? No, you're friggin' tired. You're like, let me sit here in this goddamn box.
I don't know. But this guy, he didn't just sit in the box. He, magically carried the box.
Oh, he crushed a guy's skull. It's like, give me some rest.
Yeah. Maybe, maybe there was a book signing or something and he just... had to go check it out.
Now because you said Schindler's List, I'm convinced the whole thing is about Schindler's List. He's like, I could have gotten more blood with this watch. This watch, I could have gotten some more delicious blood.
He probably could have. I don't know where he is, but I bet he's having a lot of fun.
So I honestly think that scene with the hacker is the only time we saw poor man's Christoph Waltz this episode. Otherwise, we spent our time with poor man's Max von Sydow.
Yeah.
As he has the scene I liked the least, with the... the person, the head of the health and human services person, where he's pretty much saying, this was the most logical scene ever. He's like, the president called me, not you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this, will you stand with me? Huh? What? Of course. And then he collapses, and suddenly that liver, his valet, the nice guy, the guy's like, hey, we could give you this surgery and you'll be fine.
Right.
I think there's going to be, once again, I love predicting, I guess, now on this, because this episode has inspired me.
Yeah.
Do you think poor man's Max von Sydow, Mr. Palmer, do you think he's already infected? And when they try to do the surgery to replace his liver, all hell is going to break
loose. They can't find the liver.
Right.
They don't know where to go. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Or has he not... Do you think he's been cured? He's doing this because he's about to die. He thought this is my chance to live forever, like a vampire.
Well, like a lot of, men listening in their late 30s, I've had a couple of, couple of facelifts and, tummy tuck and, why go through the pain of a surgery if...
Be infected with worms.
What was the point to bring this box over, if not to live forever?
All right, now, anything else you want to say about all these scenes?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, well, I want to go back and get back to it again about this thing. Are they vampires? Because poor man Christoph Waltz,
yeah.
Ulrich, or Ulrich, whatever his name
is. I don't know.
Whatever his name is, he's... every time he comes into Stoneheart there, that big kind of suite, he closes the thing so it's like less sunlight.
It could be less sunlight, or...
He got worms? Because we haven't really seen him have a tongue worm come out and suck somebody's blood, have we?
I think you're forgetting the opening of episode 3, where we see him applying his face and all that.
I remember that. But
so I think he's sort of been cleaned out. I think he's a fully evolved creature...
This is a great point, because all the other people, when they start turning, it's like they can't really talk or function. They just become monsters, but he has the ability to think and talk. So he's like a special wormy.
Well, maybe he's a special wormy, or maybe he's sort of gone through the equivalent of zombie vampire puberty. When I knew Bubba has just recently completed puberty. And
finally, he
often had to be chained up inside of a shed. He often told everyone to go away, and he often was, making unintelligible grunting sounds for hours on end. So
I'm so glad I have stuff to edit out of this podcast.
Maybe that's all it is. I don't know, but it will be. I don't know if we're gonna have enough time in the show to really follow any of these zombies, on their.
One time.
Their evolution.
Follow the zombies one time.
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. But to answer your question, if these jerks aren't vampires, I don't know who is.
Okay, good point. Yeah. Good point. All right, so that ends that storyline. So now let's get back. What else should we cover? We should probably get back to F, because he's our hero. He doesn't drink milk. Maybe that's why he's been such a kind of slackard.
Of a jerk. No milk?
Sure. All right, so let's discuss this decision. We've already talked about it a lot.
Yeah.
But he does the autopsy, and then he doesn't burn the body like he comes to later believe, the pilot's body. Instead, he puts it in trash bags and puts it in a freezer. Maybe he was putting it in an incinerator. I don't know. What was he doing with that pilot's body there?
Yeah, it could have been an incinerator. I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure if it was an incinerator or a biohazard dump or something like that.
All right,
At a hospital. So
no, that's a good point.
I don't know. It was an interesting mix of adhering to and completely ignoring protocol.
Rebel CDC, Mork.
You're absolutely right. But which I don't think is crazy considering the circumstances that they're in. But
he punched Jim.
He did.
He's
punch
a bit him. Of a rebel that way.
Well, Jim sold him out. Jim deserved a knock on the head. If
now, F, we all know that he has totally gone to Bone Town with Nora.
Yeah.
I don't know. Looking at F, it may have been a ticket for one, and Nora just kind of pretended to
go there.
So, but F, after he punches Jim, he's like, "I want nothing to do with you. You're the enemy, whatever."
Right.
And then he kind of storms out, leaves Nora there. He is not a great boyfriend, is he?
He's not a great boyfriend.
Not
actually a good party guest. He seems to make a lot of pronouncements and then just leaves. So
now I was on Jim's side earlier. Jim was like, call this in.
Why was he on? Why to call it into who?
To Everett.
To good old Everett. To the
right Everett.
Human services.
Everett, we got to get in front of the story. He's also like, hey, let people know. But Jim took a punch, and then Nora, sexy, lovable Nora, mm-hmm. was like,
give me back my phone.
Right? She's like, give me the phone. But she's also like, I don't know what I would do if someone I loved was really sick.
Yeah.
That's what I like to call foreshadowing.
I think you might be right.
Or pre-worming.
Pre-worming.
Setting up her decision at the end of the show.
Yeah.
So she's the one where F is kind of maybe all about results.
Right.
She is the one who's got a soul. And
they're
sitting in the car. The car is a parking ticket. Apparently, F gave a Rolex up for it. I'm still confused.
For the car, he gave up his Rolex.
Oh, he didn't give up the Rolex so he could bone Nora.
maybe that's why he was what he was looking for when they cut open Redfern was he was looking for his Rolex. I noticed that we didn't find it, but the ammonium.
I gotta look in there.
The ammonium may have eaten up the thing, but you know this is an interesting thing. I mean, I think now we have all these indisputable facts.
Sertrakian is Abraham's last name. I just realized that. Okay.
Oh yeah, no. It comes and goes. But so every episode, we've had a couple of crazy, unexplainable things that have been, visible to F and good Doctor
Goodweather,
and only now does he admit, well, you know, that old man was right. We should have listened to him. But they don't actually try to find the old man at all.
No.
As it happens, the old man finds them.
Right.
And they are very lucky.
I have another inspiration, Mork.
I bet you do, Bubba.
Okay, so there was that thing about the car. It's like, I gave up Rolex for the car.
Right.
And Nora's saying, I can never get used to the car.
Yeah.
Who's going to steal the car?
Nora.
Gusto. Nora! Yeah. Nora's like, I can't get used to this car. Oh, that's a good point.
Wants a Rolex.
Hold on, this is a good point. Nora rode in the car to the Arnaud, is that the family, French little girl family?
Exactly.
And so when she leaves later, do you think she took the car to drive home, and then F is like, I'm left all here by myself?
Could be, and you know, Uber's having a lot of problems in New York City, so I don't know how he would have overcome that, but he will, and he did, at least this episode.
All right, so they drive to the house of the guy who had called them in the previous episode.
Yeah.
This is the second time F has just entered this house. He's like, if a door is unlocked, I can enter this home.
And the last time he was there, he did find a bathtub full of blood.
And some hair. He took samples of the hair, too. Remember?
And some hair, and did not seem to be too bothered by it. So it is a little awkward to explain. You know, officer, I just happened to find this bathtub full of blood. What were you doing in the house, sir? Oh, you know, just
I'm the CDC.
Want to borrow?
I'm taking charge. Well, I'm taking charge of this investigation. Goodbye.
I'll be back.
All right.
I'll see you later. Can I borrow anybody's car? My car won't start.
Dang it, F.
Yeah. Does anybody? Well, I won't.
So this was this scene here at the end. Not only was it my favorite scene because it had Abraham and his sword totally kicking your ass, But also, it was good intense. And what was the theme music playing here again? The little children's song?
I don't know, the Barney song or something like that.
This old man, he played one. He played knick-knack with my worm in the.
It was something like that. I thought, the Arnault family has a terrible reputation for playing dirty
Oh, hold
children's.
on. This song has its subtle meaning. It says, give a dog a bone. And who do you think they're talking about there?
Well, they're not talking about Ansel.
No, they are. And Bolivar. They need a bone.
That is
So now
horrible.
this girl is an evil vampire worm, but she
Yeah.
still wanted to play her songs,
She
her kid
did.
songs.
Yeah, so that's just proof for all of our listeners with children that if your kids like to listen to that goddamn song, there's a good chance
Cut off their head.
there's a good chance they will try to kill you one day.
Oh, and when she was attacking them and she jumped up off on the little coffee table, I thought it was awesome. And then in comes Abe, and
Good
he's
old
like,
Abe.
Arno, hey, slice and dice, baby.
Slice and dice. Now, have you noticed that? And I'm glad because otherwise I don't think we'd have a TV show. But have you noticed that only when F is being attacked do those worms miss?
You know what? Once
Maybe they're going
again,
for the wig.
they're going for the wig.
Maybe they're
The
going for the
wig
wig. They're
is. The wig had
distracted.
a special episode today.
It's
It
there
really
for a reason.
did. And well, you know what? Okay, let's speculate. Why do you put this actor, wonderful actor Corey Stahl, in
Yeah.
a wig in an episode where people start losing their hair? Is Dr. Goodweather going to
Oh.
get infected?
What a good call, Bubba. That could be that I say there's two possibilities. I think
And
you
then Nora, who wants to save a loved one, will her love and Zach's love save an infected F?
I don't know. I mean that's that there is our will they or won't they?
So now let's talk through Nora's.
Can I just say
This
the
is the
other
love triangle.
possibility?
This, oh, sorry. What's the other
The other
possibility?
possibility for F having a wig is so in case he's in a pinch and he needs to distract some incoming fire,
Yeah.
is he can remove the wig,
Woo, woo,
put
woo,
it on like a cane,
woo.
and then hold the cane around a corner,
Yes.
and then have it be attacked by a Nazi zombie vampire.
All right. So I want to go through lovely Nora's motivation here. So,
Yes.
beginning of the episode, she's seen F crush in the head of the pilot who
To save lives.
earlier who F had said, we'll take care of you. I'll make sure you're well.
Yeah.
Then here she sees Abraham slice off these two people's head, and what is her reaction? It's not thank you for saving me. Instead, it's what have you done?
You jerk. Yeah.
It's not for everyone.
Yeah, that is true. Nora better suck it up because yeah, I think things are only gonna get grodier along the way.
And what do you think of F's turn? So, do you like, does Nora have a believable character arc where suddenly she's like, we're supposed to cure them? We're in the CDC. And this is playing out in real life right now, where the Ebola virus, CDC doctors who've been
Yeah.
infected have been brought back to Atlanta.
Well, number one, good.
Yeah, bring them back.
Yeah.
Let's try to cure them, damn it.
Bring them back. Let's do it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it just sort of falls under the, we have a giant problem here. Let's try to, fix the problem and
Now,
then worry about it.
Nora says, though, she'd rather die from this epidemic than kill people. Is
Yeah.
that Chekhov's hoping for death?
I don't know. I think I know there's a lot of, Walking Dead is a great show, but I think I'd like to see something a little different from this show. And
Because a lot of characters die in Walking Dead. Is that what you're saying,
well,
or?
spoiler alert. No, it's not so much that not so much that a lot of people die. It's the big question of The Walking Dead is, how do they maintain their humanity while, fighting for their
Oh
lives.
wait, and that was the spoiler alert. What I said, I think what you just said. Hello, that's the back of the DVD box cover. How am I going to read the DVD box cover if you've told me that now, Mork?
Well, look, I will not be the first one to say it, but please leave Walmart now.
But Abraham, he's just stone cold. He's like, listen, F, I can tell you love her. We got work to do.
That's
Say
right.
goodbye to this beach.
I mean, as long as Abraham doesn't suggest that F cut out the middleman and just put Nora's heart in a big old jar next to Sarah's heart in a jar.
Oh, that's a good idea.
In Abe's basement, then I think we're fine. I think there's room to save Nora, and I hope they do because she's lovely.
So this was a fun episode, a lot of craziness going on. Any other thoughts? Have we covered everything you wanted to cover here, Mark?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I want, there's a lot of crazy stuff happening.
You want more crazy?
I want more crazy, and I want less custody battles. Thank God there wasn't any of that in this episode.
No. More custody battles.
No custody battles.
What if you had to decide? Let's play, yeah. And people, you can write us and tell us your decision. You can write me, Bubba, on Twitter, at Fit and Trim. That's FitTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. So, okay, let's have it. What if you had to decide between a custody battle where you could get custody of your son or saving all of New York from worms? Which would you do?
How are the Yankees doing this year?
That does not matter, Mork.
It matters to my son.
So you're saying, oh, it matters to your son.
I'll be honest. If my kid...
Okay, so no, they're doing great. The kid's happy.
If my kid is as annoying as Zach, I'm going to offer him up to the Nazi worms.
What?
Well, it's like an experiment on him. Try to
cure it. Hey, Nora.
Of course I'll try. It'd be motivation. I got to save my son.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I care. Come on.
Right. I wouldn't care unless my son was infected, so I have to get my son infected.
There you go. That's called bringing your
it's
work
called
home
logic,
with you.
People, and love.
Thank you.
If you don't love your... Maybe this is why F doesn't love his son. He's like, I'm not willing to share you with my work.
I think F, whenever he looks at his son, just says, God damn you bastard with that gorgeous full head of hair. That's what I think.
Poor Zach. All right, so let's just do... since Zach and Matt from Sears wasn't in this episode...
Right.
Let's do a cut scene right now, you and me, what they were doing in this episode. Hey, buddy. I'll be Matt from Sears.
Okay.
Hey, buddy.
Yep.
We're almost done redoing your dad's office. Whoops. I mean F's office. Yeah. You call me dad now. Hey, look what I got you. I got you this great popcorn maker from Sears.
Thanks, fake dad.
You can call me Fad.
Thanks, Fad. I'm really looking forward to the next 11 days we have alone together with Mom before I have to spend any time with my father.
Oh, that's just like you, Zach. Hey, Zach, why don't you hand me that nail gun?
Why do you want the nail gun, Fad?
No reason. It's just hard to bone your mom while you're here.
But
I told you to fix up this room so I could go upstairs with lovely Kelly.
Look, Ansel was tied down safely with a chain, and yes. That's what I'd like to have here. You do not need to nail me to anything, even though you're from Sears.
Listen, speaking of nailing, hello, Kelly and Nora. Three-way.
No, Fad.
See, it's because I'm fake dad. That's why I'm fat, kid.
No, I thanks for
so, spelling okay, that if out. You put the letter F before dad...
I know.
For that.
Yes. So, I think that's exactly... You'll have that to look forward to on the extended version of
right.
The Strain.
Right, the Strain. All right, so, yeah. I really liked it. You thought this was better than last week, because you gave last week only a 6. Is that correct? Would you say that more?
Yeah, I think we're heading in the right direction. I want to see more crazy. I want to see more
crazy.
Blood.
More blood.
I want to see more searches for Rolexes and zombie vampire corpses.
Hell yeah.
Let's do this thing.
Let's do this. Okay, so once again, please, give us reviews on iTunes. We'll give you a shout-out. We'll also give you a shout-out if you set a tweet at us. Remember, you can tweet at us. I'm Bubba, and he's Mork, and you can tweet us at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. We'll see you next time on
Got Your Milk!